barbecue, sliced beef and bread, ribs and sausage and a cold big red. Barbecue makes whole ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat. Eat some barbecue.
Well, couldn't have said it better myself. And before we get back to our topic of the day, as it relates to barbecue and the local local contribution it has to our Arizona economy, we want to follow up a conversation we had 2 months ago when you brought Schnepp Farms in, and we were talking about the coming production of peaches, and yes, they are ready to be picked.
They are ready to be picked. They said the bigger weekend will be next weekend. There are some to pick this weekend, but they're pushing those that are going to participate to really show up next weekend.
WineSpector.com has listed them as the best peach production in the country for over 50 years. That's impressive.
Their peaches are wonderful. 1 year, hint, hint, if the Schneffs are listening, they sent a whole crate of peaches to to the staff at Farm Bureau,
yeah,
and they went quickly. We found homes for all those fresh peaches. It was so wonderful.
Your headquarters in Higley's not too far from the farm.
It's not far at all, and I don't quite remember, but they delivered them, and we just we're over the moon about that. Thank you, Schnepp Farms. So, yes, it's going to be a good time. The next 6 weekends, I think they do it, because they've got different varieties that come ripe at different times. Yep.
Well, beef is obviously one byproduct of cattle, but there's a lot of other things that come from cattle. Each cow, about 45% of our harvest is meat, but we use 98% of cattle. The other 53% are used in leather, china, glue, film, soap, insulation, and pharmaceuticals.
All sorts of good things.
There's a new dairy farm coming to Goodyear, a company that's partnered in with the Coca-Cola plant, is putting in a 300,000-square-foot dairy in basically Goodyear, Cotton Lane, and Thomas, create 140 local jobs.
We like it when they add to agriculture, because then we can raise that $23 billion number. That will contribute to the economy.
And Beef Magazine had an article that talks about the benefits of cattle. Cattle have been grazing in centuries. They help aerate the soil with their hooves as they move around, fertilize with manure, reduce the spread of wildfires by grazing off the brush, which we're going to have a good fire season.
We're trying to prep for that,
like,
by the way.
A conscious one.
Yeah, we're trying to prep for that. We're telling a lot of our farmers and ranchers about fire season and how to be prepared.
And they help keep grasslands intact instead of being converted to residential or commercial developments. Just a few of the benefits of beef and cattle production and barbecue. And we've got a guest on the line, Mr. Tim Dunn, Yuma native.
Yuma native, Yuma farmer, and also state representative for District 13. So he's quite busy, and he still finds time to barbecue for his family and
join us on this Saturday morning.
Yes. So, Tim, here's a question I have for you. You know, you can veg out on a barbecue grill. So what are your tips when it comes to grilling vegetables, since you grow them also?
I grow vegetables, yes. But I got to follow up on the peaches. When you start peaches, I'm thinking Dutch oven cobbler with peaches. And so you got to go back to charcoal.
Yes.
Peaches and a Dutch oven cobbler. And we do that up on the mountains with my good buddy Kevin all the time. So we got to remember to get some of those peaches for that. But back to your question on the veggies, I learned a lot when I was doing a Daniel's fast about 5 years ago, because we weren't eating meat for 30 days, and we started doing a lot of bell peppers and potatoes, and so using olive oil, a little bit of kosher salt, some pepper. I kind of developed my own vegetable rub when I was going through that, because we were just trying to use limited, you know, just stuff back out of the Daniel fast was doing in the Bible. So anyway, I learned how to do that using olive oil, cut up the veggies, basically like a shish kebab, or use it in a pan. It works real well.
I love grilled vegetables. They just are so yummy, and you're making my mouth water. In fact, I think for lunch I'm going to do barbecue today. I myself may not do it, but I'll go somewhere for good barbecue.
And one thing I like to do is for a potato, like a sweet potato for a side, take and you can either cook it the whole time on the grill, or you can, you know, you cheat a little bit and microwave it about 4 minutes, the sweet potatoes. But then you take an olive oil, put on the outside of the skin, and then take some coarse ground, the bigger the better, sea salt, put on around that, wrap it in tin foil real tight, and put that on the grill about the time you're putting your steaks on, and then that sweet potato will be perfectly done. You don't have to use any butter or anything else, and it's going to be healthy for you. And it's going to have a great, that salt and that olive oil on the skin is going to be bite through, and you're going to really enjoy it.
You're killing us, Tim.
Eileen, wow. And Tim, invite us over for one of your barbecues. You know, one other thing that you and I talked about, Tim, is that the barbecue contest schedule is just wild. Walk us through that. What actually is involved?
So the we'll talk about the Kansas City barbecue style contest that I like to go to. Those are four meets. They're sanctioned events. You have judges that are certified judges. They've gone to a class. So we show up at the event on a Friday. Typically, the contest is Saturday. So we show up Friday afternoon. You can trim the fat off your meat, but you cannot pre-marinate it or inject it or anything. You inspect the meat Friday afternoon, and then after 6 o'clock, you can start cooking and prepping your meat. So that evening, you're all set up. Everything's set up in the afternoon. I'll take the brisket, the big pieces, the brisket. I'll finish trimming those. I'll inject them with a beef consomme, and then I'll season it, let it rest, come up to room temperature for a couple hours, try to put that on around 8 o'clock in the evening. Same with the pork butts. Usually on a contest, I'll have cooked two pork butts and at least in one brisket for sure, but we maybe do two. And those will start cooking that evening. After you get them on the smoker, you'll trim the your pork ribs. Usually run four to six racks of ribs. I'll trim those, and then I'll marinate them with seasoning and put them back in the refrigerator. You'll take and trim the chicken. Usually you can do thighs or breast, or I usually do thighs. You trim the chicken thighs, and then you'll put those in a marinate overnight, and then the smoker will be cooking the big pieces of meat all night long. After about 3 hours, 4 hours, I'll wrap, take those and put them in a pan on a grate and wrap them with tinfoil and let them cook until they get up to 202 degrees, which is usually around 6 or 7 in the morning. Take them out, put them in a Cambro, which is like a big ice chest that keeps them the same temperature. So you take them out at that temperature, put them in there, and they'll stay that way until noon. About 4 in the morning, you pull the ribs out, let them come up to room temperature, season them with your seasoning. Same thing with the chicken. And then everything starts moving on its own time frame, because at noon, we turn in the chicken. At 12:30, we turn in the ribs. At 1 o'clock, you turn in the pork butts. And at 1:30, you turn in the brisket.
So you basically don't sleep for about 24 to 48 hours is what it sounds like.
Exactly.
Now, how have you done? Where did you place, may I ask?
We took a trophy home in a contest in Queen Creek. We got the second place in brisket there. We've got some top 10 finishes in different meets at different contests. That was probably the only biggest trophy we got on the competition. But most of these competitions you go to are like when you go to the West Coast, there's 500 teams. And most of these teams that are winning they're going to 30 contests a year. And so it's kind of like, being a roper and then going to go ahead and go to the pro rodeo. This is a pro circuit that you're going to. It's not an excuse. It's just it's fun to play with the big guys, the guys you see on TV, the guys you see winning, and be cooking right next to them. So we've placed up close to them. And that's usually you want to get a call and try to get your name called on the top 10. So it's a lot of fun. So you're working, you're basically cooking all these four meats, and you try to have your best. If you can cook your best thing that you think you've done, you might place.
Well, now with go ahead.
You'll know that if when you turned in your ribs, that if they were like the best you've done, or if they were like a little bit off. So most people think of barbecue ribs that fall off the ribs, that's perfect. Well, that's overdone in a competition. You need to be able to pull a rib up and bite into it, and you leave the teeth marks. The meat comes off the bone perfect, where you see the meat come off, but the rest of the meat stays on there without falling off. If it falls off, it's overdone.
And you went to a judging school where they teach you how to judge barbecue competitions. What all are they looking for? So we've established that off the ribs, it's not falling off, it's biting off. What else are they looking for when they judge? Because after about the first six or seven samplings, I mean, how do you tell the difference between item number 7 and item number 28?
Right. So what happens is there's a judge for each team. So if you have 28 teams, you'll have 28 judges. And then you have a table of four, and there's a scorecard. And so when we turn in our ribs, we'll turn in enough ribs, enough bites for each of those judges in our box. So we'll turn in 8 ribs, so you're going to take a pick, but they'll take one bite. So you're judging, you'll take a bite from each, one bite of ribs, and you do all four of those, and you're going to take, so you'll be 4 bites of ribs. You might take 2 out of it. Usually on ribs, it's one bite. Pulled pork, they have slices and slices and pulled in the box. You'll take a little bit of each. You'll take a bite of those. So you're taking 8 bites of pork, and then you're taking 8 bites of beef brisket, and then you're taking 4 bites of chicken. So that's pretty much what you'll eat. You're scoring it. It's kind of like scoring gymnastics. You're scoring it off of a perfect 10. You score what that tastes like. You want layers of flavor. You're not comparing it to the one before or the one after. You're supposed to take that bite and have your own personal. You're not supposed to say if it's not hot. If you like hot, spicy stuff, you're not supposed to judge it down because it's not hot and spicy. You're supposed to judge it how it complements all the flavors. Layers of flavor. You're going to either taste smoke on the front end or on the back, and you're going to taste the spices on the front end or the back, and you're going to make sure it's juicy. The more flavors you can pick up, the better.
So you almost independently are evaluating each one of those pieces, competitors, as you taste it. So to me, then, using the gymnast metaphor again, for the competitor, you've got to have the same level of jitters as a gymnast that's competing on the national level. It sounds like it's really competitive.
Right. You'll know that if you scored your ribs, that was really good. And so you go jumping over to brisket. The brisket, you take those slices. Anybody can make brisket fall apart. The thing is, when you take those brisket slices in the box, you pull up the brisket slice and you tug on it, and it doesn't come apart till you give a little bit of pressure, then it falls apart. If you pick up your brisket slice and it just falls apart, then it's overdone.
If
you can't pull it apart, then it's overdone. So you got to get that nailed down and be able to hold that till 1:30 when you turn it in.
So, Romy, I think now you can be a judge. Well, maybe not really. One other thing that I want to give props to Farm Bureau's Goodwill Barbecue. That was started about, 3 or 4 years ago. I'm sure I'll get a text from Kevin Rogers because he'll correct me. Because Kevin Rogers, former president of Arizona Farm Bureau, has been integral in making the Goodwill Barbecue move and run around the state. And really, I even approached Bruce Kane, and Tim, you know him really well because he's a serious barbecue too and does a wonderful brisket. And so you'll have to come to our next Goodwill Barbecue and you can judge some of Bruce's meat. But I had even solicited Bruce to participate in this just because we were talking about barbecue. And he's going to get after me if he's listening on the radio because he likes to be low-key. A lot of times what our Goodwill Barbecues are doing is that we're just reaching out. A lot of the insurance agents throughout the state, the Farm Bureau agents, are asking us to host a barbecue for their customers and stuff. And so it's all just very informal and, he doesn't cater. So, but boy,
right. That was a good vision when that started.
Yeah.
Back,
and I'm sure you were part of that too, right? Certainly
probably.
It was Kevin. I remember that Kevin.
Probably. But,
yeah,
I helped him pick out the trailer, yes, and we did some
presentation. And you probably had opinions on the grill and stuff, but the grill's doing really well for him, and we love going all over the state, and we run into a lot of great people that can tell us stories about their barbecuing. And, going back to the vegetables, it's one of the ways to have a full meal. So in the next session, as we wrap up, we'll talk a little bit more about all the fun stuff Tim does.